Hello, welcome back. January 17th, 2025, from the Archer Trading Lab in Kent State University. It's the GFAM Weekly Market Wrap. I have a pretty good show today. We're obviously going to talk about GFAM, but a lot happened in the economy. Bank earnings came out. Our team has a lot to discuss this week. We're going to hear from Luke Roach, who's our chief economist.
Hello, everyone. I'm Luke Roach, the chief economist at GFAM. Let's break down the latest on the labor market, bond yields, and what it means for the economy. December's job report shows strong hiring and a declining unemployment rate, signaling a resilient labor market. While job growth remains healthy, wage growth is slowing, which could help ease inflationary pressures. Still, markets are cautious about whether the strength in jobs could keep the economy running hotter than expected. Long-term bond yields have been dropping recently as inflation pressures ease. December's inflation report confirmed a softening trend, with core inflation slowing to just 20 basis points month over month. This has calmed fears of additional rate hikes, and some economists are now eyeing potential rate cuts as early as June. Investors are finding relief in these developments, but uncertainties about the economy's longer-term trajectories remain. A cooling labor market and slowing inflation are offering some breathing room for the markets, and the falling yields reflect this optimism. However, it's too early to declare victory, with these risks tied to economic growth and fiscal challenges still in play.
Thanks for that, Luke. Next, we're on to Andrew Roach, who's going to talk about bank earnings.
Hello, my name is Andrew Roach, and I am back this semester as the Chief Investment Officer for the Gordon Flash Select Fund. And this week was huge for bank earnings, and I would like to highlight some of those. First up, JP Morgan, one of our holdings, had a stellar Q4 with profits up 50% and an earnings per share of $4.81, which beat expectations. Their Q4 revenue came in at around $42.77 billion, and this was driven primarily by strong performances in investment banking and asset management. It was interesting to see that Jamie Dimon flagged concerns about inflation and geopolitical risk, urging caution despite the strong results. Next up, we have Goldman Sachs. This is another company we hold in our Gordon Flash Equity and Select Fund. Goldman came in strong as well. Earnings were about $11.95 per share, which is more than double what they did last year. Revenue jumped 23% to $13.87 billion from the previous quarter, with a lot of that coming from trading and investment banking, just like JP Morgan. But their CEO, David Solomon, is playing it safe too. He's warning about inflation and a possible rise in unemployment. Next up, we have Bank of America, which is one of our holdings as well. They had a solid fourth quarter. Their profits doubled to about $6.6 billion, and revenue hit $23.3 billion, beating expectations. The investment banking division led the way for Bank of America, and CEO Brian Moynihan stated that he was optimistic about the next year as well. Overall, there was a common theme between these big banks, and that was their investment banking division driving solid growth. We are excited to see what this can do for the next semester.
Thank you for that, Andrew. It seems that the banks and interest rates are one of the things that the market is watching this year. Next up, we have Professor Al Lloyd, who's going to fill us in on what's gone on in crypto. Again, crypto, AI are part of the big trend for 2025 and beyond. So I'm really interested to see what Al has to say this week.
Thanks, Dave. It's nice to be back. The spring 2025 semester at Kent State University has started this week, and as a result, so does our podcast. There's no shortage of information in the world of crypto. As of recording, Bitcoin was just over 105,000 and climbing. Most of this increase over the past week is due to excitement and anticipation for the inauguration of President Trump and his overwhelmingly positive stance on cryptocurrency. Inauguration Day is on Monday, January 20th. On this day, Donald Trump will be installed as president for the second time. He's made many promises to the cryptocurrency community, which helped him get reelected. One of the biggest Trump campaign promises was to create a Bitcoin reserve. Further, legislation is being introduced to purchase 200,000 Bitcoin per year over 5 years for a total of 1 million Bitcoin. Remember, there are only ever going to be 21 million Bitcoin. So if supply is fixed and demand increases, price must rise. So why is the Biden administration positioning to sell 70,000 Bitcoin right before the inauguration? By the way, these Bitcoin were seized from the Silk Road. As an aside, Trump plans to pardon Ross Ulbricht on day one of his presidency. Ross ran the Silk Road online marketplace, which had a reputation for selling illegal items. Back to the sale of U.S.-owned Bitcoin. Taxpaying citizens need to recognize if the Bitcoin reserve gets created, the U.S. will have to buy back those 70,000 Bitcoin, which right now has a value of $7.4 billion, most likely at a higher price. Why is the current administration willingly doing this? Your guess is as good as mine. But instead of helping to create a smooth transition of presidential leadership, the current administration is clearly making things harder. Cynthia Lummis is on this, though. She's a senator for Wyoming. She's pressing to block this sale of 70,000 Bitcoin. Stay tuned, as we'll probably see more about that in the news. Core CPI increased less than expected. This drove crypto markets higher. CPI increased 3.2% year over year in December, less than the 3.3% that was forecasted. Crypto increased in value on Wednesday after this announcement. Bitcoin, Ether, and other altcoins all rose in price. XRP continues to gain steam. The price of Ripple's XRP token increased over 45% over the past week. Likewise, an XRP ETF, ETF stands for Exchange Traded Fund, may be approved this year. The incoming administration is looking to potentially create a stockpile of XRP and Solana, similar to what they want to do with Bitcoin. Not to be deterred, the SEC filed an appeal on a case they lost with Ripple, the creator of XRP, as a parting gift by Gary Gensler, the chairman of the SEC, before he leaves office. The SEC asked a lower court to strike down a decision stating Ripple's sale of XRP was not a securities sale. Gary Gensler has committed to resigning on Inauguration Day, or else he'll be fired by Donald Trump. The whole SEC is going to be overhauled in a couple of days, but yet, the current SEC staff is still filing lawsuits against cryptocurrencies. Again, instead of helping to create a smooth transition of leadership, the current SEC is making things harder. There definitely seems to be a pattern emerging. BlackRock, the largest asset manager in the world, has launched the iShares Bitcoin ETF in Canada. This continues to prove that BlackRock is fully committed to Bitcoin domestically and internationally. Coinbase is relaunching Bitcoin-backed loans in the U.S., allowing users to borrow up to $100,000 in USDC using their Bitcoin as collateral. USDC is a stablecoin, and a stablecoin is a digital asset that is pegged to the U.S. dollar one for one. The service, powered by Coinbase's Base token, offers competitive rates with no fees. Once you submit your information, your funds are available in less than 1 minute. Yes, you heard me correct. Your funds are available in less than 1 minute. Comparably, to get a loan at a bank against stocks, it can take 3 to 5 business days or more, plus significant fees on top of that. Just with this example, it's quite clear banks are going to need to change the way they do business if they want to compete. The cryptocurrency exchange eToro, which used to use Alec Baldwin as its spokesperson, is planning to go public in the April to June timeframe of this year. The projected value of the IPO is right around $5 billion. This is eToro's second attempt. We wish them luck. Lastly, things are looking up for the cryptocurrency market. Donald Trump has nominated many cryptocurrency-friendly individuals to his administration. Let's take a look at a few. The first is Paul Atkins. Paul has been nominated for the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. He will replace Gary Gensler. He was a former SEC board member and cryptocurrency lobbyist. The hope is he will drive the SEC towards a more crypto-friendly regulatory entity and framework. He will most likely look at and change the classifications of cryptocurrencies. By this, the SEC may deem some or no cryptos as securities. Those that are not deemed securities will see significantly less regulation relative to those that are deemed securities. The second person is David Sacks. David's been nominated as the AI and crypto czar. This is a new position focused on guiding the administration's cryptocurrency policies. David was a venture capitalist, early Bitcoin investor, and podcaster. His position will focus on creating a legal framework for cryptocurrencies. This will help immensely with creating clarity for the industry and policy among various regulatory agencies. Third is Bo Hines. Bo's been nominated to be the executive director of the Presidential Council of Advisors for Digital Assets, or more commonly known as the Crypto Council. He will focus on cryptocurrency innovation and work to make the USA the leader in digital assets. Lastly, Scott Bessent. Scott's been nominated to be the Treasury Secretary. He will replace Janet Yellen. Bessent is a known supporter of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. Likewise, it's been disclosed he personally owns between $250,000 worth of Bitcoin in the IBIT ETF. As you can see, a lot has happened since the last podcast. If you have questions or comments, feel free to call or email me at allowyd7@kent.edu. That's alloyd7@kent.edu. Now, back to you, Dave. Al, I'm really surprised at how much has changed since the last podcast before winter break. That was a useful summary and recap of the new players in the administration related to crypto. And really the next step for crypto to become institutionalized would be having a solid legal regulatory framework so that institutions can continue to expand their offerings. So thank you for that. And thank you everyone for listening today. Bye-bye.